Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. Episode 44. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me, as always, is...
Pat.
Cat and Hat.
Yay. And Alex.
Yay. We got a full crew today. This means we're going to totally get cut off by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to do some trailer discussions. We're going to talk some comic news and TV news. TV is a weird term to use nowadays. We're going to discuss spoiler culture. This should be a fun and spoiler-filled discussion. But first, unfortunately, we are going to lead with a moment of silence for the great Peter Mayhew, a giant in many different ways, has passed us. He was Chewbacca for, 30-some-odd years. So, just join us in a couple seconds here. All right, I'm going to bring us back into this. We're going to start with some trailer discussions. I think we need to get the big blue monster out of the room first and talk about Sonic the Hedgehog. I don't even know where to begin on this one.
It's called No. That's where you start and finish all at the same time.
I heard a rumor that they were attempting to, like, encapsulate furry culture, and that's why they made the design that they had. Was because it almost looks like somebody could put on a suit and wear
it. You made
that
this
costume.
So much worse for me.
Okay. I don't want to.
That's disturbing on so many levels.
Totally, I got from this trailer that it was just supposed to be like a kid's action flick kind of thing, but
with
now with that, God damn it.
I don't know, man. Like that, the. My first initial thought when I watched this trailer is I always went, why is this not an animated movie?
I mostly just followed up with, why are you playing Gangster's Paradise?
Because Detective Pikachu. They're trying to
but Detective
do
Pikachu,
the same thing with everything else.
Pokemon, inherently in its story, is about humans playing with Pokemon. So doing a film with animated creatures that is live action makes sense.
Yep.
Sonic is all fantasy, crazy sci-fi with one human that is trapped, and we assume Eggman is human in the games. You know, like, that's... It's a reversal, so why aren't we doing an animated film with one live-action character?
I don't even want this movie, so...
I mean, I want something cool and something fun.
How about you just give me another, maybe like a new Sonic game, or I don't know, not this movie. Anything but this movie. I'll take a kick in the butt. I don't know.
A kick in the butt. So I'm going to pay $13 for a kick in the butt, please.
I don't know. Yeah, I really think it's... gosh, I'm forgetting who owns Sonic now.
Sega.
But Sega, just trying to, like, do a Detective Pikachu movie. Yeah, they're just trying to ride the tails.
So speaking of the comparisons to Detective Pikachu, director Jeff Fowler is going to change, or has publicly made the statement that the design for Sonic is already going to change. The backlash from the trailer.
I'm sorry, I don't even know if it was backlash, just all the memes making fun of it. He's all like, all right, you know what, I just need to stop.
Yeah, he...
Why is that so common now? Like, anytime there's a lot of backlash from the public, people then make a public announcement. They're like, something is going to change because people really hated it.
Well,
that's literally why.
It's all money, for one. You know, this is a business, first and foremost. And if your market has told you we're not going to see this because of what you did, then maybe you should change what
you
did.
But if it's happening so often, then maybe they should have just... It sounds like they're just not being good at their jobs.
I think it's...
Yeah. I mean, like, essentially what this is like, this is the problem that you run into when you want to lazily rehash old content into a new form, is you have fans who are already fans of the old form, and they say, this isn't what this is. Instead of making a new title entirely with new characters, then people can't be like, they're different from what they were before, because they weren't, you know? Or they weren't.
I think this is a problem with studios also not using the right test audience for their content. Like, if you're trying to appeal to the core demographic, then don't get somebody off the street. Like, make a focus test group that is specifically your core audience. see what they think of the designs before they make these things
public.
Stop
talking about logic. We don't have
that. I don't understand. Like, why would you not want to go... Like, when you're making a comic book movie, why wouldn't you be scouting comic book stores to ask those people into your test screenings?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you...
Because in all reality, their core audience isn't comic book people when they make those movies. It's everybody. And you can just tell by what they do.
But who is the minority that's making them change this stuff? Is the
core
audience.
Oh, I don't even know if that was the minority. I just think everybody's just like, this looks terrible and it's hilarious. Let's meme the shit out of it.
there's also a moment in the trailer, because I actually think Jim Carrey was kind of fun in this trailer in a weird way. There's a moment at the end of the trailer where he goes like full Eggman, and there's like these weird like oversized mushrooms and like a crazy desert in the background. And I'm looking at that one sequence going, well, yeah, here's your movie. Like, why didn't you do something that was, like, crazy fantasy with things trapped and, like, utilize the CG technology that we have now instead of doing a movie that takes place in our world?
Because maybe it leads into a sequel.
Why don't you make a good movie first and then worry about a sequel after that? You know, like, movies were made in the past instead of, like, I'm going to make 5 films and the first one is going to be just fucking terrible.
They want money.
Yeah.
Okay. I enjoyed the Power Rangers movie. They made an announcement of 8 films. How many movies are going to get made from the Power Rangers films?
Wait, what?
1.
Yep. I enjoyed the shit out of that movie.
Yeah.
And obviously I have
Yeah.
Childhood, grew up in it, so I know.
All they should have said was we were making a Power Rangers movie. And then once the film was successful or not, they could say, we have sequels planned.
Yeah.
But when you put the cart before the horse, everybody goes, well, I don't have to watch this movie because the stuff that I want is going to be later.
Yep, because Tommy's not in the original one, so no one cares.
Yep. It's like, oh, cool, we'll wait till the Green Ranger's back in now.
Yep.
Well.
So, I'm sorry, there's like, let's go to other trailers.
Everything relates back to Power Rangers.
Because it's the best thing ever.
Anyway, yeah, what else? What other trailer news do we have?
So we have the Swamp Thing 1 minute 30 second trailer for the DC Universe streaming. Boy, they went horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watch it.
I don't know. It looks really cool and really like creepy.
So
if
you know who's talked how much I sleep, let's not make it worse.
I'm not a big horror person because I'm just a little fraidy cat.
Me too.
Scaredy cat, and I'm but
the proper term
like,
is chicken shit.
Yeah, exactly. I am a little wuss baby cry baby person. But no, it looks really good, and yeah, just it's a lot of tonal things. Like there wasn't too much like gore and like slashery stuff. It was a lot of like just tension,
using light, using camera angles that
tones.
Like follow the tendrils and tentacles like moving onto somebody.
Andy,
you know, like
said tentacles. I just cat's out.
Well, it's a Swamp Thing. He's got vines.
He's got vines. Vines.
Yeah, this is why he's only. I only read.
He's
about
got grass tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I opened
it. Okay, you tried to make it better and it's worse.
It's worse. It's so much worse.
I don't want those grass stains. Anyways.
Yeah. He has flower tentacles, okay?
No.
Also, okay, I don't think you can attach anything to tentacles and make it better.
You can't. As you can
Alex,
see.
Do you have a tentacle opinion?
I didn't see the trailer.
Oh!
Yeah.
Aren't you? You are one of the people who actually has DC Universe as well, right?
I canceled it.
Yeah, are you going to bring it back when Young Justice season three, part 2 comes out?
Whatever, Harley Quinn all the way.
Yeah,
I'm down
for that.
Anywho, that's a
fun hearing Quinn.
So, anyways. Yeah, interesting opinions on the trailer. So.
Yeah, I'm cool. Excited for it.
Me too. Anyway,
yeah.
Next, we've got the ostensive final trailer for Godzilla, right? Like, that's the way it was being labeled?
Yes, I believe trailer number 3. Usually trailers come in 3s, and then... Yeah, most of the time they don't do 4ths.
They listed it as the final trailer.
Honestly, at this point, how do you do a 4th one without revealing more in the movie?
Right, yeah, there was quite a bit of story in this trailer.
Yeah, just reusing shots from previous trailers.
I really think that this trailer company, who's working on the Godzilla trailers, unless it's 2 different companies, but then they both should get awards.
Maybe they should talk to the Sonic people.
Because I'm moved, excited. Like, seeing this trailer in theaters is an amazing experience, like seeing the giant monsters. Alex, what was your thoughts?
I actually thought it was really amazing. Yeah, the graphics for the monsters looks cool. A lot better than I thought it was going to be when I heard that there was going to be another Godzilla movie. And I'm kind of interested to see how the plot turns out.
Yeah, I want to see how they play off of the angle of Titans, of, like, old gods mythology. Because they have played with that in the franchise thus far, and I think that's really, that's a really cool way to go with this, a franchise that is being very built into the sci-fi of it all. So we also, man, we've come a long way with our technology, because the way that the monsters move and the way that they look is, it's...
And especially the way that they interact with the environments too. That's a huge thing. Especially going back, like, and watching even more recent CG movies is how, like, you just haven't had it interact.
Right.
Like, you'll have just solo standalone bits of CG that don't actually.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a weird dusting to the way, like, buildings crumble and when a tail hits them, you know, like, it's just sort of like, The way the impact would in your head work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hard to put your finger on why it's so appealing, but it really is.
Yeah. I think this is totally going to be like a little deep cut for me, but one thing I've noticed, and especially CG buildings falling in movies, is even recently they've been way too quick. Like, you don't have that... Like, when you drop something from a high, you know, it takes a minute to accelerate.
Right.
And so a lot of times they'll just have, like, all the motion at once with no acceleration. Right. And I think that's what a lot of people have started to realize. Anywho. Right. Totally.
I mean, it's cool. It's
I don't like thinking about the physics of a building falling. I'm not going to lie to you. I can see why that's happening.
I take up the physics of buildings falling takes up way too much of my theater time.
I also want to touch on the music choice. Again, what was the music in the first trailer that just...
Clair de Lune. I love so that good. Mix.
And now they did a mix of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and it's just like this...
See, I just want to sit here and make Sonic jokes.
Oh god.
I mean, we can talk about the music being Sonics, I guess. It's really good.
I don't know. I want to stay positive because Godzilla seems really cool and I can't wait for this movie to come out. Which
I'm
at the end of this
really glad that the third trailer was better than the first trailer, because I watched the first trailer and I totally thought it was an intro to Stranger Things because they chose the actress for Stranger Things. And I will never get over that, because every time I saw the commercial, even though I'd already seen it, I'd be like, oh, Stranger Things season 3.
I think we might be talking about the second trailer, actually.
Is it?
Because the first trailer is the one with Clair de Lune, and it's like the slow moving, it's just music.
I thought the first one was totally... the one where she's like on the radio. Yeah, which is why I thought
that's
it
the second
Stranger
trailer.
Things.
No, I thought it was. It opened.
We'll have to do a trailer. Okay. We'll have to do a trailer. Because to me, the first trailer is arguably the best trailer I've seen in like 5 years.
Oh,
I still
think it's the best.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, we're just gawking positively about Godzilla at this point in time.
Nice, yes.
All right, well, let's move on. So there's been some, once again, TV news. This is a weird thing to say because of where we are with what TV is.
At this point, I'm like, streaming service news.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how do you say this? But
movies that are not, you know, movies. They just span weeks.
Right, so 12-week movies now on streaming service.
Filmically episodic news.
There you go.
Huh? Episodic news. man, that's weird. Anyway.
Cinematographically episodic news. It rolls right off the tongue, I'm telling you.
yeah, but it's stuck on the doorway.
So there's going to be a Ghost Rider TV show on Hulu using the Robbie Reyes character played by Gabriel Luna from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's pretty cool.
Nice. I'm excited. I liked him in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's the only reason I stuck around as long as I did. I was like, ooh, Ghost Rider. Give me more him.
Right. I'm really excited for what this means for the future of like the Defenders type characters that are a little bit darker living in Hulu.
A little bit darker. Just
a little bit darker. A little bit darker.
It's not like night and day. White,
yeah,
black paint, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if they're going to add him to, like, the lineup and...
Well, the big question is whether or not they're going to get the rights to, like, the Daredevil... Well, the Defenders crew.
I think
they
have to wait at least 3 years, I feel like, is something I read.
But they're supposedly doing a Damien Hellstrom TV show as well. That one seems fairly unconfirmed. The Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider one seems very strong, like, as
Hellstrom.
The Hellstrom twins, they're basically the son and daughter of the devil.
Oh.
Nice.
But classic. This could be leading us towards Moon Knight, which is the series that I've been wanting.
I don't know if I could read that. That one's... That could be horrifying.
They can do so many things with that. But it's interesting that Hulu is going to exist in conjunction with Disney Plus and your content distribution, because we're getting the Offenders animated series on Hulu as well. So experimentation with, like, the level of R-rated or hard PG-13 stuff on Hulu versus what is more family-friendly, although the stuff for Mandalorian that came out of Star Wars Celebration leads that's more into the hard PG-13. So what content is going to be where?
Yeah, it'll be an easy thing for Disney once Plus comes out to have the specifically cordoned off adult and kids section. Mm-hmm. That way parents won't have, you know, that's a major concern in this. Yeah. In streaming service ages, how do parents stop their kids from watching certain shows? So now Disney already has like a built-in thing, like you have to go to a physically different platform to watch these things.
Yeah, and that's an easy password protect if you want to integrate the two platforms together to be like, oh, okay, well, you're switching to Hulu, please enter your password.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So, boom.
Yeah, very cool. I'm excited about this. Excited what this means. All right, so in more sort of TV news, this one's actually TV. There's going to be a Star Trek animated series from Nickelodeon featuring the Dan Hageman and Kevin Hageman, who they were the main directorial team for, Trollhunters, and then they were also involved in the Lego movie, the Ninjago.
And Hotel Transylvania.
Hotel Transylvania.
They did some writing work for that, too, so...
Yeah.
Which are some of my favorite, and like specifically kids animated properties for sure.
The only problem I have with this is, why is this not on the same network as Star Trek Discovery? Like, as being another way for you to get that CBS All Access? Like, that's where, like, something like this should live, to be like, oh, I kind of want to watch that. So there's two shows
that
now.
Because cable doesn't know what they're doing, and they're still living in the old realm of this, and they're like, this is our streaming service. It's the same as our cable show site. You just get to pick what you watch. That's literally what it is.
Everybody wants a piece of that Star Trek pie.
That too.
There's going to be four different... Once this and then the Jean-Luc Picard series comes out, there's going to be four separate Star Trek series going on at the same time.
We're going to turn this into Star Wars and beat it to death.
I mean, so far they're doing a really good job of it.
Yeah.
I think Star Trek doesn't rush into it as much as Star Wars. I might be a little biased on that.
And I'm biased in the other direction, where I think the Star Wars film or TV content is maybe better than the film content. So.
Okay, when you bring up the Star Wars TV stuff, then you got my ear, but...
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah, so this is cool news, but I want a reason beyond the one show to get CBS All Access, and this would be, once again, pushing me that way. Like, if my Star Trek content was all in one space, that was not an intended pun. I would be more inclined to think about that service. And at this point in time, there's no reason to. I guess I'll just wait for the Blu-ray releases, you know?
Fair enough.
Which, yes, I do still like physical media. When the apocalypse happens, maybe I can use a generator to still watch that stuff.
as long as you have a DVD player, a generator, a TV that still works, and your copy of the animated Star Trek series.
Duh.
The apocalypse won't be so dim.
And I'll have magic.
Oh, God.
Speaking of the apocalypse, there's going to be a new Batman Superman series for DC Comics. Written by Joshua Williamson with art by David Marquez. I just don't care.
See, you say that, and then I was pretty much on that front, and then they're like, Joshua Williamson. I'm like, bitch, they have me.
I mean, it's a great creative team. I just, maybe there's too much Batman content at this point in time. I know that, like, I know coming from me, it's kind
maybe,
of crazy.
Maybe we should focus on this other Batman comic that, you know, is hanging out now that no one... That I don't want to read anymore.
Maybe too much Superman content too.
Nope, take it back.
I'm more in Kat's camp on this one. I think that there's not enough Superman stuff and too much Batman stuff. So adding the two characters together doesn't necessarily do anything for me. Plus, this seems to be a direct spinoff of DC Year of the Villains, because it's going to focus on six heroes turning villainous. And I don't know.
I'm game. Yeah. You have me.
Alex, you're a DC fan. What do you think? Like,
I really haven't read a whole lot of Superman. I am a Batman fan. I feel like I should really get more into, like, other superheroes in the DC universe, because I'm, like, mainly stuck on Batman and Flash.
Well, as a Batman fan, though, do you want another Batman series to worry, like, to think about reading?
No. Or?
Okay, see, and that's, I think that's what we've got Curse of the White Knight that's going to be starting this year.
And I'm super pumped for that.
Exactly, and then we've got the DC...
Batman Damned, you have the next, the Batman comic that they're going to do that's another three-issue one.
I honestly don't even want to read Batman.
Oh, Last Night on Earth.
Yeah, there's that one.
There's the Walmart Giants that are now coming out as individual issues, which I am all over it. I think
that's true. And the
first set is a Batman one.
Yep.
Detective Comics, the Batman one. Yeah, I've got Superman and Action Comics. That's all I have. That's all the Superman I have. Yeah. Besides the year one that's coming out.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
No, that one's fine. But yeah, everything else is just Batman.
What were you thinking?
Batman and the Outsiders.
Nothing. Alex just said that she wasn't even going to read number three of Batman Damned, and I was just like...
Oh, that makes me sad.
I know.
Yeah. Were you not a fan of two? Not that we need to get into this discussion right now.
But. I don't know. I guess I wasn't really, like... It was okay.
All right, moving on.
Fighting words.
So Jane Foster, they basically spoiled the end of... War of the Realms. She is now going to be Valkyrie in an ongoing series written by Al Ewing with art by Kafu.
See, now I'm just pissed off. Thanks.
Co-written by Al Ewing and Jason Aaron as well.
Ooh, so Aaron's going to probably soft handoff to get the character started. Probably. I love the art.
Yeah, I just saw the cover solicit and it looked badass. Yeah. So
I'm glad that they're not shoving corporate synergy down our throats and making a new Valkyrie character other than the one that's in Exiles to be more like Tessa Thompson's character and actually utilizing Jane Foster, who has been spectacularly popular in the comic book realm for the past few years.
See, all I'm thinking about right now is just the end of the War of the Realms when he just like you no longer have a head.
Yeah.
He killed all the Valkyries.
I missed that. Is that War of the Realms 2?
That was the first one.
I'm
pretty sure it was the first one.
What?
I don't think I've seen that. Yeah. Spoilers.
Spoilers. In my defense, that came out 2 weeks ago.
That's fair.
Fair enough. No, I saw that and I didn't pick it up, so that's my bad.
That's pretty funny.
That's why you're getting a new Valkyrie series, because they're all dead.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, which, honestly, I guess at this point, they spoiled it for you before I did.
True. I'm actually intrigued still. Like, you telling me something like that actually gives me...
I'm actually really curious.
A reason to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would read it, because I'm actually, with that announcement, I didn't really put two and two together. I didn't really think about it till about now. But that makes me wonder if she's going to be, like, raising a new Valkyrie force.
Because that's a really cool idea.
Technically there isn't one anymore.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be a cool plot point. I hope they give her some... Like, it seems like she has some sort of a mace or some sort of a weapon that is... tied to her powers, so I hope that maybe they give her something like that. It's something more Mjolnir-ish, where it has a tie to the lightning, to the power of the Asgardian gods.
Isn't there a Valkyrie who has something like that already?
Yeah, but they're they do the sort of Shazam thing where it's separate consciousnesses, so they're not aware of each other.
Okay,
I should say that's more like the traditional Captain Marvel, and less like what is the character of Shazam now.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Oh my god, I completely forgot something before we move on to our spoiler discussion. We're going to do the top of the stack. We have failed to do this recently, so we'll keep them quick. I will go ahead and start us off with Deceased number one. This was written by Tom Taylor with art by Trevor Harsin and James Herron. There's two different parts to the story. The only reason I picked this up is because of Tom Taylor. I loved what he did with X-23, with X-Men Red, and every time he's handled Batman, I've cried. So, yeah. This was a hot, cold story for me. I love the cosmic stuff. I dislike the stuff on Earth, but that's, when things go cosmic, I'm really a big fan. Plus, I think James Herron's artwork definitely was more interesting than the Trevor Harsin. And James Herron just handled the stuff that was on Apocalypse. And yeah. But I think this is a good starting point. It's a really interesting zombie story, at least from the standpoint of where zombies can go in the DC universe. I hope this is out of continuity, because there's way too many things happening in DC right now, so it really muddies the continuity if we do that kind of stuff. But, Alex,
zombies,
you want to go next?
Space.
You sure you want to save mine for last?
No, let's burn the bridge right now.
So my top of the stack was Heroes in Crisis number 8. I'm not really sure where to start with it. It wasn't horrible. I'll admit that I didn't, like, hate it as much as other people did, or as much as Keith did, even, really.
Keith, shout out to Keith, friend of the show.
Yeah. It definitely chose, like, a plot twist. Is it okay to spoil?
We just gave a spoiler warning.
Yeah.
Okay, well, spoiler warning, we're going to talk about what happens in this book. They chose a plot twist that was really unexpected, like, with Wally actually being the one... Or, I guess not Wally, it was really the Speed Force that, like, killed everyone.
Sure, rationalize kind of, it however you want to.
Yeah, not clear on
it
that, but...
It was loss of control of the Speed Force.
Yeah. But it was kind of cool, like, getting to see him talk about, like, how the Speed Force has always been something that speedsters never talked about, how it was something they kind of, like, had to hold into themselves. That was really cool. But also... That was stupid. Because it just that they killed everybody and then chose like an easy reason to explain why they killed everybody.
My problem with this is I can't let go of Wally being my Flash. Like, I grew up on Wally West comics as the Flash. So it just feels like they hate the Titans in DC right now, and the thing that I love about DC and what I've always said DC does right is legacy, and they're just destroying the legacy characters right now. So, well-written book. Tom King, I think, does a great job with writing individual issues. It's just, that's rough for me. It's rough.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Mitch Gerrits, though. Great job on art. His art's fantastic.
Yeah, no,
I miss Clay Man.
I do like Clayman stuff. I think I like Mitch Gerrits better because I like kind of he's very cosmic-y. Like, he just chooses weird, like, lighting scenarios and things. So.
I like Clayman.
Yeah. I think I didn't like this issue as much as other issues, but I still really like the story so far.
And
it
feels thank you, Patrick.
What?
No, well, you finally agree on something. Thank you.
I was like, what? Yeah, I thought you agreed on it.
All right.
Anyway. Automatically assumed it was sarcasm.
Yeah,
right.
That's fair.
That's the relationship.
That's my life.
Kat, what do you
have for us, Kat?
Spider-Man Life Story 2, the 70s. That was awesome. So we got Chip Zdarsky and then Mark Bagley, I believe is his name.
Yay, Bagley.
Dude, that was really great. I enjoyed the 60s one, and I read through many, many comics this week. Last week, whatever day it is. And I read the first one, and I really liked the end of it. So when I had the second one in my hand, I grabbed it and read it for the first thing that I read for this week. And I was not salty about my choice. It was really, really, really good.
Introduced a new spider suit in that one, right?
Yeah, I think it looks closer to the Ben Reilly. A little bit like the original Ben Reilly one he was...
Cool.
That he was in. So that was kind of cool. It's really interesting to see how they're spinning everything. The first one involved a lot of the Vietnam War. And then the 70s... They didn't really involve too much history in the 70s, really, but they pulled out some Spider-Man tropes that I didn't expect them to pull out, so...
Cool. I think I need to give that one a read.
I would suggest it.
Nice.
Pat, you want to close us out? We're the top of the stack?
Yeah, so I guess me having the last one here is a little apropos, because I have West Coast Avengers number 10, written by Kelly Thompson with art by Moy R., and this is the final issue of this run. One of the reasons it was the top of my stack, I was just kind of bittersweetly excited to read it. And man, the way they go out on a bang in this issue really makes me want more of it. We get
the shark dog thing.
Yeah, we get a sweet new character. We get the land shark in a Sharknado too on the last page.
Yep.
A telekinetic Sharknado made by Quentin. And,
Land Sharks are where the story started, too.
Yeah, Land Sharks are where the story started.
Land Shark.
Yeah, and then, like, so the whole thing is supposed to be a reality show, documentary or whatever. And at the very end of the issue, Kate Bishop gets a letter and it's like, what? The show's being canceled. They can't. And then it just cuts her off with the end at the very, he can't possibly have the authority to dash the end.
That's
and then so it's just hilarious. Kelly Thompson does a great job writing, and I don't know. It was awesome. I want to see what she does next and where this team goes.
A lot of sad people about this one ending.
So. Were there really?
Yeah. Well, she's doing. I don't know. I guess it wasn't as good as. apparently as I thought it wasn't being, I guess it wasn't being as bad as much as I thought it was, because I enjoyed it, so.
Yeah.
And she had left, like, a little thing, I think, in 9, where the story was going to go. It was either 8 or 9, like, the next part of the story, and then, oh yeah, it's this is the last issue. I'm like, this is garbage.
Oh, no. So she had more plans and everything, oh, yeah. And then they're just like, nope, you're done. And pretty she's like, no. Why?
That's sad. That's really sad.
That is really sad. And it's sad that everybody was sad, because it just proves how good of a series it was.
It's just not high enough numbers.
Yeah. Oh, well. Such is life.
Alrighty, well, let's move into a sensitive subject, actually. We are going to talk about spoiler culture. We are deep in pop culture being kind of the biggest piece of entertainment, of the entertainment pie right now, and there are mishandlings, and there are problems with being a good fan, and there are problems with being an asshole, and there's many different things. So this weekend we had a big sort of 1-2 punch of content. We had the release of Avengers Endgame, a movie that's, you know, 11 years in the making, and we had the third episode of Game of Thrones, the final season. And I think that people handled them very differently in terms of spoilers, and I'm just curious as people's thoughts about what spoiler culture feels like right now.
I was going to say, are we diverting to me? Because we should play this game.
Who has a thought?
Well, so the biggest thing for me is I've hit a point where I can't read anything anymore, and it's so agitating. Like, when I'm trying to look up news, so when they started the, like, Heroes in Crisis, they're like, oh yeah, Flash is going to be killed. I'm like, it hasn't even come out yet. Yeah. Can you just let me read it? You've got that. You've got the whole thing where with the Batwing. I found that out before I read the comic. I was pissed.
The Batman wedding.
Mm-hmm. Found out about that. I was pissed.
And that was from a news site.
Yep, I was pissed. I was pissed as all hell. And right now, I just play the game of dodging Borderlands 3 stuff. I don't watch. I try not to watch more than one trailer, because I feel like it gives way too much of the movie away, and I don't want to deal with it.
Do you think it's justified that we should be hiding behind a spoiler wall, that we should, like, that as fans, is it our right to not be spoiled?
I don't know if it's necessarily not, I wouldn't say right, but I think it would be more like, I think the question needs to be asked before a discussion is had, which is like, hey, have you, I'm about to spoil this, have you seen this? I could go with that, but as my right not to be spoiled, like, people are just,
that's hard.
Accidents happen sometimes, and it is what it is, but like, the thing is I don't really ever get spoilers from people. I get them from news networks, and I get them from that's normally where I get a lot of my spoilers, is news networks, not people, because at that point with people, I'm like, if you're just gonna be a douche, I'm gonna walk away.
Pat, you had, it seemed like you had a specific thought that just now about your right of the fan.
I would say as far as that goes, like, it's kind of on both parties, mm-hmm. though. Like, it is on the people who have seen the content and who do know what it is to discuss that in an appropriate way, because that, it's just unfair to ask people who have seen, you know, Game of Thrones episode 3 to just not talk about it at all. People are going to talk about it. Millions of people around the world have watched it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are really excited to talk about it. That's fine. But they need to make sure that they're doing it in an appropriate way. At the same time, especially on the internet, one of the reasons that so many of these things is so prevalent is because it's such clickbait. Like, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be posting these things if people didn't click on them. So that means that there is a certain majority, I don't know, like, how many people are actively going out and seeking these spoilers, and for what reason, I don't know.
Well, I'll start up a bit. I'll look up spoilers if I want them. Like, there's certain things I'll go look for, like video games, and it's mostly because I don't want to play the game, and I'm just curious how the story ends. Like, I've seen stuff on Twitch where people actually use the, like, bits, so, like, their money thing, to spoil a game for somebody. Like, you're a dick if you do that. In my opinion, you're a douche, but it's, for me, like I said, I haven't really run into people who spoil things for me. It's just, like, news networks that normally do it.
So, you seem to have a thought about the right of a fan in terms of whether or not it's our right to not be spoiled.
It's hard. It's really hard. Like, at the same time, people should be allowed to discuss things because they've seen them, and we shouldn't have to be, like, extremely cautious, like, looking around every door corner to make sure we're not ruining it for somebody. My issue is always, like, how long do I have to wait before I can openly have a conversation about something?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
That is the rule of thumb.
I like the 2 week window. My problem is we're talking a lot about either news networks or the like being in our retail space. You and I have to deal with a lot of, like, we don't want to ruin things for fans as they come in to the store because we know they want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But it is as good employees, as good fans, we don't want to do that. We don't want to ruin the experience for anyone. Mm-hmm. But we're having situations with Endgame where people were airdropping spoilers onto people's phones. So, like, literally in a public place, you know, setting it in and just using the NFC to drop a piece of information onto somebody's phone. Or even worse than that, running into a theater after your showing and yelling into the theater the spoiler for the movie.
Did that
happen? Did you guys see the music, or the music video? The video of the kid that's having a conversation in his classroom and he just straight up spoils one of the events of the movie. Just says it in his class, just like, as a malicious intent. She'd be like, I know you're excited about this. Blank happens.
That's rude.
And so the person responds going, did you just fucking spoil the movie for me? And then decks him.
I'm not going to lie. Honestly, that's a very childish thing to do. But at the same time, I'm like, nah, I think that little troll got put in his place a little bit.
So here's the question. How do you police this? This isn't something that you're going to arrest somebody for spoiling.
That's happened twice now. I've read two different things where two different people have been punched over him. And it's like, and I think a lot of it isn't necessary. It's, like I said, that is, don't hit somebody because they spoiled something. But at the same time, if you see a person like that, at that point, that's how you, in my opinion, that just shows what kind of person you are. And it shows you that you're kind of a dick. And it,
basically
all it tells me is, I'm no longer going to associate with you.
You're going out of your way to be an asshole. Yep. Like, that's what that comes down to. But how do we police that? Like, what do we do?
I hate being this way, but you play the game of timeout. If you don't want to participate with everybody and you want to maliciously ruin something for someone, I'm not interacting with you anymore. You teach them the freaking playground way. Cool. We're not going to talk with you anymore then.
Yeah, but how do you do that for, like, a 40-year-old guy on the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard when people post on Facebook. A lot lately, and it's even worse because sometimes people will post something about the movie, and it's not even a spoiler, and people are jumping down their throats. Like,
yeah.
I've seen 17 people comment on one post on Facebook being like, don't spoil things. And clearly her post did not spoil anything for you, so you don't need to be jumping down her throat.
For me, I just avoid. I think the other part of it is, for me, the internet is not usually, like I said, the biggest problem I always have is always news networks. I don't ever, if some 40-year-old dude wants to go spoil something on the internet, cool, I'm not going to look at it. And that's my thing, is that I usually, when we, like, you have big movies like this and stuff, and, like, games, I usually do my best to just avoid Facebook and stuff like that. That's really what it comes down to, because there's no way you're going to stop some anonymous person on the internet.
Well, you must have better filters than I do on my stuff, because I just scrolling through information, just reading the news, people have just, like, outright said things because they were excited about a moment in film A or TV show B, you know, like, it wasn't even, the problem is that people aren't hiding them behind a comment wall. They're not going, spoilers for Endgame incoming, and then posting a comment afterward that has the information. It's just, I was excited about X happening.
I guess I just don't read anybody's posts. That's pretty much how I live my life. It's very rare that I read somebody's posts on Facebook or anything.
See, and
like
I'm not
that.
A Facebooker. All of the stuff that I see is Twitter and Instagram.
And I don't have Twitter.
See, I'm a huge Facebook person. Maybe it's just because I don't follow specifically entertainment news sources that, like, many. I follow a lot of, like, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, Guardian type stuff.
New York Times is the ones who spoiled
the
wedding issue.
Yep.
They posted their review before the comic book was out and said what happened in the wedding.
But I also, when I see them do the review, because they don't post the spoilers in the headline.
The headline was Oh, Batman really? That one? Okay. Batman and Catwoman do not get married in the wedding issue.
Nope. Okay, well, I didn't see that one then.
Wait,
but
they
like,
don't get married in the wedding issue?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoilers, that's definitely been out for over 2 weeks. So.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on reading it, but like,
that's a beautiful comic.
Yeah, it's a fantastic comic.
That is
book.
A beautiful comic. That's one you should read.
Yeah,
you
should read
the end of it.
It was pretty good, yeah. But I don't know. I guess they don't post that often about it. Maybe like that time it's a big example of it, but I don't know, I just don't see it that often, honestly. Like, Forbes doesn't really talk about Avengers Endgame constantly. And, you know, Bloomberg isn't on Game of Thrones that much.
Here's an interesting thing. Disney went out of their way to record a Don't Spoil Avengers video. You know, they handled it publicly, put out the content with the actors in the film. Remember this weekend, don't spoil Avengers Endgame. Game of Thrones did not do anything like that. HBO didn't do a spoiler because I don't personally think that they need to do something like that. And because Game of Thrones is a Sunday release, there's a lot of news networks that are not posting anything until Monday anyway.
Yep.
Not that a day, I think, is a significant amount of time, but that does operate on a window of time where news sites wouldn't be discussing it until Monday anyway. But what is your role as a celebrity? Because we had a professional athlete that posted his reactions to Game of Thrones the moment, like a video reaction, minutes after they happened. And if you're following this person, you're getting notifications for them, and you might just click, and it's a video with no warning. How is that being a good fan? And I think that's the big problem. And we've discussed it before that fan culture is pretty toxic right now. And I think spoiler discussions are inherently part of this being a good fan. Like, it should be our responsibility to be aware that other people love this stuff too.
Yeah. And then see, also that's what I would say, like, he messed up for sure doing that. Like, that, he probably shouldn't have done that without giving some sort of spoiler heads up. But then that's also where it would fall on the fans as well, because like, I'm sure they didn't go into the video and they're like, I'm sure he's just gonna be talking about basketball in this thing. Like, you know, going in that he's going to be talking about Game of Thrones, even if it doesn't have it on the label, within the first 5 seconds,
yeah,
you can get that out. And then it's on you. Like, before I went to go see Endgame, I was listening to NPR. Some guy came on with a review of Avengers, and I was like, all right, I'll listen to this until it starts to get into spoilery territory. And sure enough, like, he said a couple words, and I was like, all right, that's where I gotta turn it off, and that's on me.
I've looked for specific reviews of Endgame without spoilers in them for that exact reason. And it,
yeah.
I think you have to be wary of your surroundings as someone who doesn't want to be spoiled, but at the same time, like I said, the people who are gonna be maliciously doing things, they maliciously do anything and everything in their lives, so that if there's always going to be people who want to spoil things for other people because they're just asses.
Yeah.
But is that okay? Is it okay to just be accepting of the fact that people are just going to... People are people.
No, I don't think... That's almost an entirely different conversation, is just saying, like, you know, oh, the whole, like, boys will be boys argument. Like, you know, people will be people, like... Like, no, we shouldn't just accept that people are assholes.
Yeah.
If somebody is saying something or doing something asshole-ish, like, it is... And once again, they shouldn't be doing that, but as fans of not assholes, it's our responsibility to step in and make sure that we correct this, or do our part to help correct this, I guess, even if it's unsuccessful.
I think at the same time, though, you have to realize what... Because most of the time, 85% of the time, those people are, like, just trolls. That's literally what they want. If you don't give them a rise, it's not as fun anymore.
So, controversial opinion. I very, very methodically, when I get trolled on the internet, I always comment back, but in not, like, outrageous tones. Very, very forward, factual, trying to connect to this person, and... I know half of me, or most of me, knows that this is not doing anything and it's not going anywhere, but, you know, be the change you want to see in the world kind of stuff, I guess. And it's more difficult. I hate doing it. I hate a lot of those people so much.
I just don't care about them.
But how... I mean, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm not actually, like, there's clearly not an answer, but how do we stop the person in the movie theater? Like, is beating them up the right decision? Like,
honestly,
is this, like,
on that scale,
they learn a lesson.
I'm not one for violence ever, but at the same time, I'm like, you can tell the person who ran back in the movie theater to spoil the movie, you're just an ass. That's literally, you just know for the fact that that person is an ass. And it's like, I think people's, I don't think I can do anything about it, but I think the people around them will have more effect than I ever would. And so the person who ran back in and spoiled the game, if I was his friend, I would have punched him in the face. Be like, you're a douche. Why would you do that? What was the point of that? What did that give you?
Do you think that that's what the friends did? Do you think the friends high-fived him and said, yeah, that was funny as hell?
The friends were probably doing the same thing, but like I said, it's those around you who are going to have a bigger influence on somebody than some random person on the internet, honestly.
But I think that as a fan culture, there needs to be a way that we recognize and call out those people and say, this is not, we as fans are not going to be okay with this.
Make them famous.
Yeah, I mean, is that the thing? Make them famous.
Well, yeah.
No, because that's what they want.
I mean,
no, but like, do them in like the, like the terrible Twitter famous where like everyone hates you.
Yeah.
You know that like hashtag make them famous kind of stuff.
For some people, that's exactly what they want.
I'm sorry, Alex, what were you saying?
Oh, so like a terrible analogy, but it kind of feels like the same thing as when I deal with children. So like, I can tell a child not to hit somebody, but they're not going to listen to me, and I'm not allowed to punish them.
Right.
But they'll learn a lesson when they hit a friend, and the friend hits them back.
So the, like, the self-correction.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, they'll figure it out one way or another. Like, it's just whether they choose to figure it out the hard way or not.
Yeah, that's kind of the point that I hit with a lot of those people is, I might not teach a random person on the internet, right or wrong, but somebody else will come along and knock the shit out of them in real life. And that's the point that I've hit, because literally, that's what they want. It's like the attention, the negativity, the whole thing is with like a lot of people like that is they like getting their eyes out of you.
Yeah, and that's fine, and they like the attention and the negativity. But honestly, like it's coming to a point on the internet where like you can become so negatively known that it has started to impact assholes on the internet's real lives. I've seen multiple stories about people not getting jobs, not getting loans, not like being like evicted from their housing because of videos of them doing something douchey, sexist, racist, blah blah blah, go viral on the internet, and then it physically impacts them in real life, and they can't do this. Spoilers is a little bit different than like, you know, being racist to someone.
Karma, but for me, right. It's always karma will come back around to that person. Like I said, for me, besides the literal mob of people beating the crap out of the dude who ran into that theater, in my mind, the way it works is something will come around and knock him on his ass, something that he didn't want. So, yeah. And that's it, because people always do bad things, and like I said, I'm not going to affect them, but somebody else will.
All right, I want to round out this conversation with just like a thought. Because this is so important to such a huge amount of people, what's the whys? Why do you think it is important to, like, these pieces of entertainment, why are they so important to go in with a fresh head and to experience it the first time clean? Because this is a big deal. Like, we're not talking about something small. Avengers made $1.2 billion in its opening weekend worldwide. So it's a big deal to people to experience these things.
I mean, the Batwing is a good one that had my entire mindset different when I read that comic. How am I supposed to enjoy a movie when I already know the ending? Yeah. Unless I want to know the ending, which I've done that a couple times, but that's
your own personal.
That's what I went and did. I knew that I was spoiling it for myself, so I did, and it was what it was. But I don't know, like, your mindset's different, because at that point it's like, how am I going to enjoy this movie when I already know the end of it? I've been waiting. You're waiting for the build up at the end to see what happens, and someone already took it away from you.
Patrick.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say it's so much, I agree with you, but I wouldn't even say it's so much even that you know the ending, because, like, I don't know, for me it's like, I don't really care about the spoilers of so-and-so did such-and-such because it's, like, how they got there that's really more important in a good movie or something like that. And you're not going to spoil, like, 2 hours of dialogue between these two right. characters that really gets you to, like, love them both.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that one of them dies at the end, I think it more, like, it adjusts your mindset, not necessarily just to know what happens at the ending, but then to know how
everything plays into the ending.
How the whole thing will play out and, like, what it's going to be going for. So, like, bad spoilers can essentially, like, get you to know the whole movie and think about it in that way. Before you even see it, and it's great to go in to have a specific mindset, and especially in modernist movie making, where you can go in and watch a movie and have, you know, as many different opinions as there are people that watched it. But if somebody spoils it for you beforehand, then you have their opinion and not necessarily creating your own, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know.
I just, for me, it's a reflection of the society we live in right now, is that things feel dark. So you hold on to wanting to experience these positive things that you've lived with a clear head. And you want to experience that joy. And I think in the case of Endgame, experiencing it with a group of people, for me, worked really, like, to bringing me to feel, like, a nice level of positivity was... So.
Yeah, even though there was a very negative, bad... Well, not bad, but there was a lot of negative things that happened...
Yeah. Okay. Without entering spoiler territory.
Without getting into spoilers. Actually, a spoiler-free spoilers spoiler-free discussion.
Spoiler. Alex, any final thoughts?
No, I think you guys really got it all.
Cool. Oh, yeah. I mean, hell, I'm pretty bad at it sometimes, like, cause I also don't know, it's hard sometimes to know what is a spoiler sometimes.
Well, the hard part is, I think the biggest point of this is just maliciously with spoilers.
It's casual conversation versus malicious intent.
Yeah.
Yes.
And because, that's the, like, biggest difference, I think, of what we're talking about, cause I've accidentally spoiled things before without thinking, and it wasn't a malicious intent, it was just an oh shit.
Yeah.
And I think if you're posting something and you don't put it behind a spoiler wall, that's malicious intent.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
because you're not being conscious of what you're doing.
You know, if I just casually mention that Iron Man face off against the Ice King, like, I don't know if that's going to be a spoiler, if that's not, you know. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones Episode 3 or Avengers Endgame, it might be a spoiler, too.
That's all. I'm like back to War of Realms with a damn troll, so thanks.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
Well, interesting.
Cool.
Well, with
winner,
that,
winner.
I guess it's time to say goodbye then.
All right.
Well, bye.
Man, I can't believe the Night King killed Bran. That's so weird.
Oh, God damn.